With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Away days are back, baby. Annoyingly, though, it does seem that they go hand in hand with disappointment for us. It's defeat for the Addicts at Oxford. Welcome to Charlton Live. So hello and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez. We'll be looking back at yesterday's away day defeat up at the Kassam Stadium. 2-1 defeat to Carl Robinson's Oxford United side. Joining me to do just that, first up, a man who was there yesterday and is still there after missing the bus home is Lewis Catt. How are you doing, Luke?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Thank you. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. A disappointing day for the both of us and a man who shares in that disappointment. His first show of the season, Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah. It's a bit of a reality check, I think, is fair to say. That performance yesterday up at the Kassam Stadium. Now, we knew that the squad was short, but I think we maybe got an eye-opener on how difficult this division is going to be. This season, yesterday's 2-1 loss at Oxford. That second half was so frustrating. We really didn't find a way to test the Oxford United goalkeeper. I think the Ewes were comfortable winners there. Really, they could have won it by more as well. So in a moment, we're going to hear the highlights. We're going to hear as well from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins. Of course, we've got your views on the performance. You've tweeted in and you've emailed in. We've also got a bit of a rarity, but the opposition manager, Carl Robinson, an old friend of ours, I caught up with him after the game, really, just to see what he made of it and for his views on how Charlton are lining up this season. I know a lot of you found Carl quite annoying when he was here, especially Charlton Exile, who shall be fuming to hear that we've got Carl on the show. But I did think it is quite interesting to hear an opposition manager's view on the Addicts. So we're going to hear from Carl later on. And of course, we'll look ahead to the game against Carl's former side, Milton Keynes, on Tuesday evening as well. We'll look ahead to that at the end of the pod. But before we do all that, Lewis, first half started okay, I guess. Not really creating too many chances. We then had that one for Connor Washington. But all of a sudden, sucker punch twice in the space of, 8 minutes, we conceded. Two really disappointing goals as well. Got back into it with Connor Washington. You think, right, we've not been two down for too long. We're back in the game. Let's see what we can do in the second half. And the answer, well, was absolutely nothing.
Yeah, incredibly disappointing. As you say, game started fairly evenly. And as it wore on, I think it was that Connor Washington chance was, for me, if that goes in, obviously it's a bit of a different game. A great bit of play there. I think that kind of highlights the threat that Stockley has in being able to knock the ball on and someone running onto it. But I feel like we don't do that enough. But it shows that when we do that, we can create chances. And it's just unfortunate that one didn't go our way. And then, yeah, disappointingly, I think Albie concedes possession on an attack and Oxford goes straight up the other way. And, you know, Craig McGilvery produces a fairly decent save, but lands straight in the path of Williams and he tucks the ball home for 1-0. And then, as you say, you kind of look for a reaction, but it was fairly quick until the second one went in as well. So gave ourselves a real uphill battle after about, 30, 35 minutes, wasn't it? And then, yeah, get ourselves back in the game via a penalty, which I think Carl said was an embarrassing decision. I don't think I can agree with him there. I think it was a penalty. You know, you give yourself that lifeline just before half time. And I think that really for us should have been the G up that we needed to go out there and perform second half. But as you say, it was just flat. I think the performance was completely flat. We lacked any real creativity. They effectively man-marked DJ out of the game. So we had no outlet on the right. Washington played well and worked hard to come in from the inside to produce that chance in the first half, but didn't see a huge amount of him in the second half. And yeah, I think they just dealt with us well. They rode what could have been a bit of a storm, but it wasn't. It was a fairly simple second half for Oxford to see out. And yeah, I mean, I was disappointed, and I'm sure the people listening that were there yesterday and watched the game on Charlton TV will be disappointed as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick you up on something that Craig you said about Craig McGilvery's save, but we'll talk about that once we really get into the details of the game. But Mark, I mean, the second half was perhaps really concerning because we didn't create anything. You know, you're chasing the game, and the subs that Nigel threw on, I think it showed really where we're still lacking options that will really change a game from the bench as well.
Well, it did remind me of a couple of seasons ago when we played Sunderland on the first day of a season. And the bench, I don't even think we filled our bench, but, you know, with the kids we had on it, you know, he's looking around behind him who can change the game. And you're thinking you've got Watson, you've got Davison, and that's about it. I mean, putting Claydon on for a minute plus change, I just thought that was just a pointless thing. Give him 10 minutes. If we lose, you know, 3-1, we lose 3-1. But at least, you know, Claydon's had sort of like 10, 15 minutes to maybe run at somebody. Substitutions is strange. I mean, yes, for benches lacking, we know that. Hopefully the next couple of weeks, you know, we managed to put a few more pairs of boots on it who were a bit more experienced. And then we'll see from there. It was just disappointing to say, right, you know, we were doing the same things, repeating the same things, and nothing was changing. And it was disappointing from an experienced manager to not see that the DJ was being marked out of a game and sort of like change it a touch or move him from wing to wing to wing, you know, make them follow him a bit more and open some space. So it was disappointing that we didn't have it didn't seem to be more than a plan B in the second half.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make about Claydon as well, because he came on very late, I think last minute of normal time, but he actually had 62.5% of the touches that Dialing Jaisimi did in the hour or so that Dialing was on. So, yeah, some interesting stuff there, and we'll really get into the detail of this after we hear the highlights of the game over on Charlton TV. It was Steve Brown alongside Terry Smith.
Sends it down the middle, looking for Stockley. Looks a little flick on as well, and Washington, first time touch back across on his right foot. Oh, and a touch away from the shot by Jack Stevens. Stops Charlton taking the lead. And look for all the world as if they would. And Morgan combined, Oxford fans calling for a handball, and then Morgan had his pocket picked by Williams, and Oxford will break. And it's a ball out to White on this chomp right-hand side. Shot by White, saved by McGilvery, to follow-up by Williams, and Oxford has the lead. And it all came from the quick breakaway. Matthews fell to the floor. He's complaining to the referee that he was taken out. I have to say, I didn't quite see that. And because of that, on the right-hand side, Oxford United had loads of space to exploit, and they've done so by taking the lead.
Yeah, there was definitely a coming together between White and Matthews, and it led to Matthews hitting the deck, which is why White had all that space. But, you know, if you're a goalkeeper and you make a save and you spill it back out into the box, there's always that danger that the rebound's going to get thumped into the back of the net. I just wonder if McGilvery could have pushed that around the post and out for a corner, or at least away from goal. Last thing you want to see is it going back into the penalty area for a finish.
Just to send the ball along, asking questions down of Sykes to go beyond Gunter, and didn't. Ball backwards, though, is then cut back across, and it's dropped in the six-yard box. It is blocked, the initial cross from Henry, and all that did was set it up for Brannigan to bury Oxford second.
Yeah, I mean, that is a superb delivery, and it's a centre-half's nightmare. You're facing your own goal. You don't want to get too much contact in it. Innes is, again, a bit like the first goal. It's been pushed back into an area that's advantageous to anybody in the Oxford side that's taken a gamble. It was Brannigan who took that gamble, and the ball has popped down very, very kindly into his path. And it's a very simple finish in the end. It's only 5-6 yards out. Hit the target, and you tune it up, which you did with aplomb. But, yeah, that's twice we've had attempts at our goal or crosses into dangerous areas, and we've just not dealt with it properly. We've not cleared the areas you need to clear when you're making a save or a clearance. It's a strange one, because they've had two shots on target and they find themselves 2-0 up.
Movement in the box. Stockley's one of them, and that looked like it might have come off a hand. And there is a decision to be made, and it has been a penalty. Must have come from this near side and the assistant, because the referee looked across. There was definitely contact with somebody. I couldn't see it from here. Stockley got his head to the corner, made a lovely run into space, but his header came off an Oxford player. The referee wasn't sure. He looked across at his near side. It must have been the assistant on his near side giving it.
I'm not sure either.
There's no distance.
Was sure.
It's
honestly
a strange one.
Terry,
he
took 3 or 4 seconds to make that decision. He gave himself a bit of time. He walked away from the penalty area like he was going to carry on. Then he turned back to the penalty area and pointed to the spot. It's a lifeline for us. Washington has the ball in his hands. We desperately need, you know, this to find the back of the net. If I was a centre-half there and I was going in with Stockley and he's headed a ball from no more than a yard away from me into my arms,
you'd feel aggrieved.
I'd be scratching my head a little bit about what I can do to avoid that. I don't know how I can get out of the way of that. I'm man marking him, he's headed it, it's hit me from a yard away. I'm not sure what I can do.
Well, it is Connor Washington. Ball on the spot. Referee blows his whistle. Steps forward. Right footed into the left side of the net as we look. Oh, sorry, the right side of the net as we look, the left side of the keeper. And Charlton have got a goal back.
And he looked, for the world, he was offside there. He looked and maybe a yard, but maybe that was the cleverness of the run, and he's got the ball inside to White once more, into Henry, who takes the shot. McGilvery with the save, back out to Seddon.
Matthews with the initial block, still with Seddon. Little ball in field to Sykes. Chip ball across this time. McGilvery will come on Clayton, looking to get the ball into the box. He does. Declare little back heel into Washington. Washington trying to turn, he does. The shot blocked away, and Oxford clear it.
Decides that that's enough.
We've played the two added minutes. Sykes into the box. Sorry, into the box, into the middle. To White, goes for the return, Sykes, and he is into the box. Ball across. Oh, Winnell only had a touch it into an empty net, and he steered it wide.
Yeah, absolutely pulled us to pieces there, they did. Excellent move from Oxford. Great movement off the ball.
White, who takes a shot back to Brannigan after it was blocked away, and he's found Taylor. Taylor back into Henry, and that's an attempted shot palmed away by McGilvery.
Stevens get the game going again, and the referee will stop it.
There we go, that's the boys on Charlton TV with the commentary highlights. And well, now that obviously the games of crowds in and stuff, and if you're in the UK, it's back to just listening to the commentary as well, which I must find a really weird situation if you've been used to watching every single game at home and now not being able to. But hopefully you would have got, you know, we would have got a good view via your ears of how the game went if you were. Those of you who were there in the flesh, Lewis, are probably even more frustrated than those who were able to listen at home, because you went all that way. And after maybe a slightly promising start, you know, with that chance for Connor Washington. We just fell apart in those 2 minutes. Now, this is a point I'm going to pick you up on. You said you thought Craig McGilvray made a good save for the shot. You know, I mean, that there's other parts of that goal we're going to talk about as well. But I felt Craig will certainly look back at that and think he should have at least palmed it wide and not straight into the path of Ryan Williams, who was obviously able to get the rebound into the back of the net.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he will look at it and think he could have done better. I did kind of forget, to be honest, that he could have just palmed it aside. But yeah, it was, as you say, just incredibly disappointing. I think it was a fairly, as I said before, a fairly even opening period. And then we kind of had that spell. Washington had that chance, and I thought we were looking quite dangerous at that point. I thought they were linking up quite well between Stockley and Washington. I thought Albie had a few good plays and a few good runs, but got caught napping in possession a little bit, maybe held onto the ball a little bit too long instead of releasing it. And then they break down the other side and score. You find yourself 1-0 down. And then, as I say, the immediate reaction wasn't there, because then you find yourself falling two behind with Branigan scoring when he did. Again, could he have, we had done better there, I think, maybe defensively. You know, it was a goal at the near post, wasn't it? I think we probably will be disappointed with how we've conceded both of those goals. And yeah, handed a bit of a lifeline to get back into it through the penalty. And I was just really disappointed that we didn't take that and use it to kick on. I didn't really, as you say, the second half was so frustrating, because I didn't see us produce anything of any sort of real threat. I thought that we just looked fairly flat. I thought that it looked like we were trying to defend the lead rather than anything, because we weren't pushing forward enough. I thought that our midfielders were fairly ineffective. I thought Albie had a pretty poor game yesterday. As we say, Giasimi was sort of out of it completely, man-marked by Oxford, as Kyle said in his presser after the game. But just disappointing that, I think Mark hit it on the head, I don't think we changed it up enough. I think with Claydon coming on, as you say, he had a fair few touches when he came on, and he is kind of, yes, he's young, but he's kind of that unpredictable talent you want. He's pacey. I think he would have caused a few problems if he came on a bit earlier. Maybe if we'd have taken one of those midfielders off and pushed Washington up top alongside Stockley, rather than just having that lone striker in the middle. Even when Davison came on, he was kind of playing out wide, which isn't really his stronger position. He's not really got a huge amount of pace. He's a bit more of a player that holds the ball up and lays it off for others. But yeah, all in all, for me, very disappointing. The day in itself was great, because, I mean, the biggest mention has to be the Charlton fans yesterday were absolutely fantastic. I mean, the following was great. The crowd were incredible. And that song for Seb Lewis yesterday, I think, brought tears to a few people's eyes. I thought it was a really decent away following. It's just a shame the performance didn't match it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, where we sit in the press box on the other side of the stadium, you obviously get a good perspective of which set of fans sounded louder. And you can definitely say it was the Addicts fans. And they were still singing even after full time, even after we've had that disappointing second half and gone on to lose. I mean, obviously, the first goal of the game then, Mark, we've already mentioned the goalkeeper. I think a couple of people noticed that Albie lost possession of the ball high up the pitch. I mean, Albie's been our busiest player this season, and it is a phrase I'm going to describe. He had the most touches of the ball, 69 yesterday, and Akin Fainwo came close on 65. Obviously, dialing Giasimi was at the other end in terms of the players he started, only had 8 throughout the game. But, you know, Albie was the one looking to make things happen the most, and he had some good points. He had that run down the left-hand side where we looked to get a cross in. But obviously, he was the man dispossessed for that goal, then the counter-attack starts. Also a question about whether Matthews might have been tripped by I think it was White, who ran past him before having the shot that the goalkeeper could have done better with. But, you know, Albie's going to have a really interesting season, isn't he? Because he's our most visible player at the moment, because he's touching the ball pretty much more than anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel a lot of the, I don't want to use the word abuse, but heavy criticism he gets online isn't particularly warranted. I mean, if you think of the experience we've got in that team with Gunter, you know, Matthews and people, it's just there's more experienced heads. If he makes a mistake, they should be saying, right, this is what we can do. This is what we can mop up. It did seem like the Oxford guy did have just a motorway to run through for the middle. And, you know, McGillivray should have, yeah, you're taught as a goalkeeper, if you can't catch it, push it away from the goal. You know, Albie is, is a talent, and it's how Nigel manages to use that talent. Because the last thing you want to do is have him sort of like crush the kind of like individuality he can bring to a match. I mean, I think he's got good delivery. Not every delivery is good. Not every corner or set piece is going to be good. But you'll find that from some players in, you know, in every team, in every division. I just think it is a make or break season for him, for us, especially when Jake comes back, because I'd say he's probably the most at risk. Is what happens with him then. Because obviously, you know, if you've got a quality player like Jake coming back, you know, Albie's not going to get there, or he's going to get, you know, on the bench and stuff. And you think to yourself, well, it could be a make or break season for him. So hopefully he can turn it around.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, as I mentioned, he's definitely been the most visible player this season. And I think because he's been on the ball so much, you know, we're seeing the opportunities where he will feel he could have done better, and perhaps they're overriding perhaps some of the times where he has done well. There's been, every single game this so far this season, he's had a moment where you think, oh, he could have done a bit better than that. But also he's had a moment where he's done really well and stuck a cross in that perhaps has obviously ended up coming to nothing at this moment in time, because that's sort of the way it has been. Obviously, the second goal, Lewis, I mean, after that good defensive display against Sheffield Wednesday on the opening day, Nigel Atkins has targeted 25 clean sheets. So, you know, especially with Akin and Ryan Innes at the back, we expect to be pretty solid defensively. But again, that cross comes in. Ryan Innes, he's on the stretch, ends it up just sort of leaving it where it is, basically, for a tap-in for Brannigan in the end. Again, he'll look at that and think, oh, I wish I'd just turned that behind for a corner.
Yeah, 100%. I think you're right. I think it was, again, a weak goal to give away. And as I said, the timing of it even more frustrating because of just going behind to the first goal. So, yeah, it is disappointing. And I mean, I know that Akin and Ryan are sort of, as a partnership, all in all, very good. I mean, it wasn't that their display yesterday was awful, because I think it could have been a lot worse if it hadn't been for them. I think they both played fairly well. But yeah, like you say, just those sort of silly, not errors as such, but maybe just lapses in concentration, just to do a little bit better. We say it about the McGilvery save. If he palms it wide, then it's a different story. And the same with this, really. You just almost like just get rid of it. You'd rather lump it out for a corner or a throw than risk it. But it is what it is. All in all, their positive performances definitely outweigh the negatives. And yeah, it's one of those things we need to bounce back from. And I'm sure Nigel being the you know, the attention to detail that he gives to his team and everything to bounce back, I'm sure they'll look at it in a lot of depth and try and iron out any creases before we go again on Tuesday.
Now, you know, we've mentioned it already once or twice, but the fact that DJ didn't touch the ball too often was something that a lot of fans were speaking about yesterday, Mark. You know, and I've nailed my colours to the mast with DJ. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to have a good season. A lot of fans were frustrated at full time yesterday because he touched the ball eight times in an hour and was taken off. And I mean, we'll hear from Carl Robinson in a minute, but we know he was, you know, man marked, and Charlton didn't do enough to get him the ball. Did DJ do enough to get himself the ball? I mean, it's two questions, really, but it does show currently that if you can keep someone like him quiet, and then, you know, Jaden Stockley's knockdowns, which did fall to white shirts a couple of times, but if they don't come to nothing, all of a sudden we're a pretty impotent team.
Yeah, it's strange because he seemed to have had a good pre-season, but against Sheffield Wednesday, I thought it was... I didn't rave about him like a lot of people raved about him. But I think yesterday, I think what they should have said, and it's only sort of like a throwback to watching some of our wingers over the years, and say to him, look, don't come in for the ball. Stay literally a metre to the touchline at all times. I don't care if, you know, we're defending on the left-hand side. Don't drift in, because as soon as you drift in, you give them a chance for the fullback to move up, the defensive mid to get closer, and you narrow down the space. If you stick on that wing, one of their fullbacks going to better keep one eye on him, and he might be drawn in. The midfielder's not going to sort of like, oh, he's out that far. And then you're going to have space. And I just think to myself, it's something you see and you think to yourself, it's a tactic we're thinking, you know, if you're man marking somebody, the easiest thing to do is say, right, let's get some bodies around him. So of course he drifts in thinking, I want the ball, I'm looking for it. No. You stay there. Let us worry about getting you the ball out fast. If we can move it quick enough, and then you are one on one, and then you can use the pace and skills and everything. But you know, like I say, I think with there's a concentration level and you drift in, and when you do get the ball or it comes to you, there's nowhere to go because suddenly there's shirts around you and you're thinking, right, I've got no options. I have to pass it back, you know, as opposed to thinking, right, I can take one man on. And I just don't see, you know, we've got coaches, you know, proper coaches on the bench to say, you know, surely that would work. That would, you know, make the opposition worry about him, you know, on a one-on-one situation. Don't let them build up and shut him down. Because like I say, Carl said, you know, we knew he's the danger man. So we man-marked him. So negate that. Tell him to stick out as far as he can. And if he doesn't touch the ball for 10 minutes, fine. But eventually he will get a one-on-one situation.
I mean, we've spoken about Albie Morgan already, Lewis. But, I mean, the midfield as a whole, I think Sean Clare was pretty low down in the touches. He certainly was in the first half. He had 30 touches when you look at Albie Morgan had 69. Considering he had a pretty good game against Sheffield Wednesday, but we all felt he improved in the second half when he touched the ball a bit more. Do you feel like he's going to be a player where, if again, he needs to make sure he becomes involved in the game, and we as a team need to make sure that he's involved in the game? Because when against Sheffield Wednesday in the second half, when he was getting forward, we started to look a little bit more threatening. But yesterday, again, he was anonymous.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you mentioned that he brought it up himself in his interview after Sheffield Wednesday, that I think in the first half, as you say, he'd been a little bit disappointing. And in the second half, as he started to find his feet and push forward, he became so much more effective. And yeah, yesterday I didn't see a huge amount of that. I thought, to be honest, our midfield, all in all, really had a pretty disappointing game yesterday. But yeah, I think Sean Clare will be disappointed. He didn't have an impact, really. He probably would have liked to have had more of an impact than he did, especially against Oxford, playing in that position that he's been wanting to play, you know, stamping the authority where he wants to play. And Carl obviously saw him as more playing somewhere else, a right back, I believe. But yeah, I mean, look, the team, it's early on, isn't it? Still, there's probably still a little bit of gelling, a little bit of understanding to be had. I just think that really, as you say, if he's not being given sort of the reign to go forward, because we're constantly kind of on the back foot trying to regain possession, etc., or we're playing a certain way, that which means he's kind of sat anchoring a bit deeper, like with Dobson, then yeah, he's not going to be as effective. And I think, as you say, the second half against Sheffield, he came into the game a little bit more. He was a bit more active in the cup game on the Tuesday that I saw as well. But yeah, look, it's a long season. I think that we've got a player there. I think I'm really happy with him and Dobson coming in. I think they've both got good qualities. I think we just need to learn how to play to those strengths. I think Dobson plays a lot better defensively. He's that sort of dogged, sort of a bit of a Josh Cullen sort of mould that will just run around and tackle and make those challenges that are a little bit, you know, like to the wire, could be a booking, some of those like crunching tackles you see. And Sean Clare's that little bit more box to box and a bit more of an attacking threat. So yeah, I think we need to learn to play to their strengths, definitely. And yeah, I was disappointed yesterday that we weren't able to utilise Sean Clare in the way I know we can.
Right, let's have a listen to what the boss Nigel Adkins had to say then after the game up at Oxford United. I caught up with Adkins and asked him what he made of the performance.
Yeah, it was disappointing. We got off to a, when you look at the first opportunity early in the game, goalkeeper's made a great save from Connor Washington. You know, it's a nice little flick on from Jaden Stockley and Collins in there, and the keeper's made a great save. And then from my point of view, we've conceded two goals on the counter-attack. We're in there attacking third. And, you know, I've watched them both back. There were several situations we could have done better as a team to stop the two goals. But ultimately, you're 2-0 down. And that does change the complexion of the game. For me, it was very stop-start at times. Seems to be very slow. I wanted a bit more. The lads were in great nick yesterday and going into the game with a lot of confidence this morning. And we had a lot of belief about ourselves, but it just it didn't happen. They had good spells, we had spells. We got ourselves back into the game. Very well taken penalty by Connor Washington. And as the game's going on, you know, you make a change. DJ, for me, who's had a great pre-season start to the season, he wasn't involved in the game. We didn't get him the ball enough. He wasn't making any impact. So Josh Davison, who's done really well, just thought, get him on. And his energy, his enthusiasm, and his work rate to go round will get us on the front foot again, because we needed that momentum. You know, we were chasing the game. So that was my mindset on that. And then, you know, if anything, we're maybe going forward a bit. I wanted to put Ben Watson in there for the space to maybe see the situation, to control the game and build the game a lot more. And we've done that. And when you look at, they've got at times three players around Jaden Stockley, the space to go and play. And when we've manipulated the ball wide to get into good areas, then it's about the decision making and the quality. And at the end there, like the last 10 minutes ago, you're chasing it in a way. I've got Charles Clayton with his dynamic pace, who's done really well pre-season. Take the fullback off Chrissy Gunter and be very, you know, attack minded to try and get him on the pitch. And if you like, you've got a front line of a Washington very close to Stockley and Davidson. Three in midfield, because again, like, you look at them, they were very good in midfield. You know, they're a good passing side. And if you leave yourself too exposed there, then they are going to have a lot of the ball. But my point of view, we've come here to get the 3 points, and very disappointed that we haven't.
Obviously, to concede twice in such a short space of time must have been a bit of a shock, considering as well how well the side defended last week and how good they've been defensively since you've been here.
Very much so. We've got done on the counter-attack. You know, the ball's in the attacking third of the pitch. They've gone and broke. You know, there's a big argument. There's a free kick we should have had on the halfway line. That's not a game given, but we should have stopped it up there, and we stopped it there. And obviously, they've gone through and gone and scored. And a similar thing from the second goal. For me, again, we talk with it and we'll go through it with the players again. The counter-attack could have been stopped at source. But all of a sudden, it's 2-0. And then, listen, credit to the players, because they've kept going. They've got themselves back in the game. And, you know, we've tried to be bold in what we're doing because we wanted to win it.
Disappointing perhaps in the second half you didn't create as much as you did in spells in the first half.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to say well done to Oxford, because the way they've gone and defended, like we did last week to Sheffield Wednesday. You know, we've got a massive threat up top, but likewise we've got to utilise him. But likewise, when the opposition gets surrounded by him, there should be opportunities for other people to get on the ball and play. And again, that was what I was, my mindset, to get Ben Watson on the pitch, to maybe get on the ball. So we were camped in a fair bit, but we needed the quality then when we get the ball in the final third. And at times, our ball into the box, you know, we've got to keep improving on.
Just had a quick chat with Carl Robinson while we were waiting for you, and he expressed how much of a handful Jaden Stockley is. He's certainly going to be a big threat for Charlton this season.
Oh, he's outstanding. He's a massive threat for any team, if utilised in the right manner. You know, great character, great personality. He's a big threat who gets us up the pitch, and it causes the opposition teams a lot of problems. And likewise, you know, he was very good last week. We've got to make sure that we utilise his strengths as a team, but likewise, we're not just like one dimensional. We've got to utilise the space that's then created.
It's a great news that you were able to bring Charlie in during the week. Yeah. Understandable that obviously he wasn't involved today. Is it too early to assess when you think he might be ready to get back involved?
He's trained yesterday with the players, he's trained this morning with the sports science teams, and he'll be back involved on Monday, and he'll travel with us on Tuesday, and I'm expecting him to be, you know, in the squad on Tuesday.
A good chance to bounce back quickly against Milton Keynes on Tuesday.
Well, listen, I said to the players yesterday, it's a big week. I'm looking for 3 victories, because you can get the momentum, you can build the momentum. It was a good start last week against Sheffield Wednesday. You know, the squad of players got a game on Tuesday, and obviously today I was looking to start the momentum with a victory. That's unfortunately not happened. We'll learn the lessons as we always do. There's a good conversations in the dressing room after the game, and we get ourselves ready. We're in training tomorrow, and we get ourselves ready for Tuesday night.
Thank you.
What does Charlie give you, do you think, in terms of fans that maybe haven't seen him play and stuff like that? What do you think he kind of adds to the mix for you?
Oh, he gives creativity. He's gonna. The fans were brilliant today, even though we've lost the game, but they were brilliant all the way through the game. So thank you for that. But Charlie's he's an exciting player. You know, getting the ball in the attacking third, and things will happen.
Do you see him playing on the left? Or can he play across?
He can play anywhere. Just get him the ball.
Yeah.
He can play anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a very talented football player who makes things happen. So for me, like I was saying there about DJ, DJ's had a great season. Very talented football player, makes things happen. We didn't get DJ the ball. Yeah. So we have Charlie Kirk in the team. The objective is get him on the ball in the attacking third of the pitch, and things will happen.
You get probably fed up of being asked about transfers, but in terms of numbers, have you got any idea how many more you would ideally like to bring into the squad before the window shuts?
Listen, we're working hard behind the scenes. The window will shut, but very confident there will be more players with us by the time that window shuts.
Okay. But no numbers in terms of what you think you still might need.
We're always going to want more players.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to give you a number. We have to work to a budget as well. You know, that can dictate numbers if you like what we've got. But you know, we will be looking to improve the group. But likewise, we've got an honest, hard-working group of players, and we need to help.
Would you expect any outgoings at all, or not?
At this moment, there's nothing indicated, so who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? We don't want to lose our best players.
No, that's right, yeah. Did you think obviously with DJ, as you said, he very few touches of the ball today.
Yeah.
Is that something that he can kind of affect more, or is it just sometimes the way the games kind of break down?
Well, ultimately, we want to pass the ball quickly and calmly with a purpose, and the purpose is to get an attacking third of the pitch and get our creative players on the ball, and then at the end of the day, it's getting the ball in the pomo, putting the ball in the back of the net. So it's building up there. You know, DJ did touch the ball enough. So that, as a team, we've got to identify that. DJ's part of the team. And we all have to say, well, how can we get him on the ball?
Yeah.
That's what we've got to go and do. Get him on the ball in good areas of the pitch.
And just finally, you must be pleased Connor Washington off the mark. I mean, he takes that penalty and puts it away well.
All right, listen, the goalkeeper's made a fantastic save from him.
Yeah.
You know, and there were several other opportunities where he's in good areas. To be fair, there was some good defending from Oxford. On another day, he might have gone and scored some more goals.
Yeah, you spoke about utilising Jaden Stockley in the best ways. What do you think was sort of missing today in terms of utilising him in the best way? What do you think can be improved in getting the most out of him and getting the most out of the rest of the players using him?
Well, the big thing is we get him in the attacking third of the pitch between a six-yard box, if you like. He causes problems, you know. So it's up there, we get diagonals onto him. We've got runners going off him. He can link and get hold of the ball. But by pushing the opposition team back as well because of the threat of that, that should then generate space for us to play a bit deeper and get more passes on the ball, and then maybe develop the ball into the wide areas of the pitch, and then combinations, 1v1s, 2v1s, 2v2s to get the ball into the area. So that's the threat that he possesses, and that was demonstrated very well last week. And again today, we're putting the ball forward. They've got three players around him, therefore it's fine putting in there. There's knockdowns to be had, but flip it, I've got a Ben Watson then come onto the pitch. There's a lot more space to then get on the ball and then in a control way sustain pressure in the attacking third of the pitch. That's the principle.
Makes sense. And I mean, last season we saw Liam Miller a lot in this team, was helping get the ball from defence to attack in a quickly or quicker. Do you think that's something that Charlie Kirk will bring? Is that something you feel has been missing so far this season, or not?
Well, what we've got is in Charlie Kirk coming in, he's in for a long period of time, which is great. He's a talented young man. I think we can all understand he's just had a very emotional, trying time in his life. We need to support him and help him. And I'm sure him coming in, it's been, you know, he's mixed in with our players very well so far. We've got a great group of players. We've got a very committed, honest, hard-working group of players. We've had a good conversation in the dressing room there because the players are desperate to do well.
And just lastly for me, I mean, Charlie signing on a 4-year contract this summer, multi-year contracts to pretty much every player that's been brought in, or to every player that's been brought in. That must be nice for you, that you can have a group now that can start to build for the long term.
I think that's the biggest thing at any club. You want to build. You want to build something, and you need to build stability and sustainability. You know, and a team needs to come together to understand, like a day like today, what lessons can we learn from it so we can improve and keep getting better and better. If you keep changing all the time, you're not going to have that stability, and you become a better team because of that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's
it!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo!
dream, lads! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live. Hi, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you are well. We just heard there before the break from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins, after yesterday's 2-1 defeat up at Oxford United. I guess sort of there was a danger he might come out and be too positive because he is a very positive man. But I thought he summed it up, you know, quite well. He summed up his disappointment with yesterday's performance. Certainly gave him a lot to think about there. And we should say, Lewis, actually, first of all, he did make mention of the fans, as we heard in his clip, and they were superb yesterday. I mean, everyone really seemed to enjoy themselves, especially your mate who accidentally got his arse out.
Yeah, good old Kieran, messing about. Don't try and do handstands on the tube in tight shorts. That's the lesson to take from yesterday. you're right. I mean, it was the away following yesterday. I think, as I mentioned before, it was fantastic. You know, it's the first away day we've had in a long time. And I think that sort of, you know, the positivity, fans all together and chanting and singing and the noise we made was fantastic. And it's just a real shame that the performance didn't match that. And I think Nigel will, you know, sympathise with that as well, because it wasn't there. I think we gave everything off the pitch to try and G them on when we could. I think we were loud for the entire game and it didn't quite rub off. And, you know, he'll be the first to admit that yesterday wasn't good enough, but it's about how you bounce back. You know, he said on the last one, it's all good making mistakes as long as you learn from them. And I think that yesterday, a couple of individual, you know, errors, maybe the McGilvery save being palmed a certain way, Albie conceding possession, they're things you need to learn from. So hopefully we learn from them and we can kick on and try and get that first win of the season as quick as possible.
Now, obviously, again, Mark, Nigel wasn't really being drawn on any transfer stuff. Richard was asking him if he's got a number in his head that he'd like to to speak about, you know, how many more players we need. Obviously not going to get drawn on that. Sometimes managers do, but obviously sometimes managers don't. But I mean, still very clear that we're not where we need to be yet. And hopefully yesterday was a bit of an eye-opener, just in case anyone was in any doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because last week when you'd asked him about Charlie Kirk and he was like, well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and then 2 days later, boom, there you are. Yeah, it would be nice to see at least one body this week. And then obviously, you know, pick up maybe a couple of loans to bolster the squad. I mean, I did say, I put out on Twitter that I'd like to see a couple of our youngsters go out, you know, and get some experience being kicked in League Two or Conference, you know, because that will help them, because there is quite a divergent amount, I think, of kids there who've got squad numbers, but who could do with, you know, learning a few facts of football life, as it were. You know, there's a few I'd like to make sure that who we kept, just to bring them on from time to time. I think it's strange because everyone's got a figure in their head what they'd like to see. You know, I don't know really, though, you know, saying where I'd get someone. I mean, I'd think left back, possibly, you know, centre backs, I think we're okay for. Midfield, I think we're okay for. It's strange. I don't actually think we're lacking, apart from someone who's, you could even say, oh, you know, we're going to goal scorer, but, you know, we're not going to pick up one of those now when we've got Stockley in for that. So, you know, maybe one or two bodies, a couple of kids from the Premiership, you know, using the connections we've got with Arsenal and stuff, possibly, if one of theirs youngsters is looking good. And we'll see, maybe two or three faces, just to literally pick up some. And then, of course, you've got the people who are out of contract anyway. So even after the window closes, you might still be able to pick up one or two players who might have been expecting to sign for a club and didn't, so because their options are changing all the time. So it is a waiting game. But, you know, there's 91 other clubs who are looking to do the same thing.
Yeah, certainly are. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that have come in on yesterday's performance. David Amos says, I didn't see the game, but if Charlton played the same way as they did against Sheffield Wednesday, then the wingers would have been too far away from Stockley, leaving him isolated and marked out of the game. It reduces
any goal threat that we have. London Innit Geezer says it sounds like Tom Walling got it right, getting down to go and see Dizzy Rascal, or Dizzy and the Rascals, rather than travelling to Oxford. We've got to improve and fast. In the words of Dizzy himself, all you got to do is get loose, let go, just throw a couple of shapes, put your skills on show. I've no idea if that's actually a Dizzy Rascal quote, but I'll tell you a word from it, London Innit Geezer. Martin says, why do fans go into meltdown every time there's a setback? I mean, we need to add, it's only been two games so far. The cup game doesn't count. I mean, do you think there's been a meltdown, Lewis? Or do you think people are overreacting? Or do you think there's people concerned that clearly we're not where we need to be just yet?
I think I mentioned this Thursday. I think that what it is with Thomas coming in and with so many seasons of you know, just nothing going, you know, and chaos and carnage, that we kind of have different expectations now that we have an owner that actually cares. You know, like, it's, he's come out obviously and made some statements, which we're kind of used to now, like people sort of criticizing him for saying we're going to blow the league apart and stuff like that. I mean, if to remember, he's just a bit excited, isn't he? Like, he did it last season with the playoffs, didn't he? He said, we're going to make it. I've booked my flight to Wembley, all this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, people will hang on to that. And that, I mean, that, whether you're an excitable man or not, that does set your expectation levels or the fans' expectation levels for you.
Yeah, 100%. I'm fully in the camp that I don't think that we're good enough at the moment. I genuinely believe that we are about three or four players short at a minimum. I think that we don't have any cover in the positions. And I think one of the concerns I said on Thursday that disappointed me so much with the cup performance Tuesday night, I know it doesn't count so much, but it's that the players that performed in that game are the ones that we're looking to come on in games like yesterday and make a difference. And there's no options from the bench. You know, we had Josh Davison come on yesterday. He didn't really add anything. He had Ben Watson come on. It's more of a defensive change than anything else. And then Charlie Clegg coming on in the last minute of normal time. There's no sort of, you can't look at the bench if DJ's being marked out of a game and bring on a like for like replacement and think that they may make a difference. Or if Stockley pulled up yesterday, I don't see a like for like replacement. Gunter playing out of position at left back, there's no left back to come in. I know Perrington's injured, but there's no cover there. You know, we are short, and we have had this season after season, and I think people kind of have come to expect now that ultimately we need cover in each position. We didn't have it before because we were completely underfunded and weren't invested in, and now we have an owner that wants to invest, but we still find ourselves in a position where we're short in the opening games of the season, scrapping around to do our business late on in the window again.
Yeah, I mean, but as Mark said, I mean, funnily enough, I made the same point on Radio London yesterday about the Sunderland game, where we started with a bench that wasn't full and I think had players who'd never played league football on or only one or two games. There is still time to fix that. And we hope that will be the case. I think Thomas Sandgaard was on Charlton TV yesterday and he sort of outlined that he obviously still wants to get a few in, and he talked about, I think, deals later on in the window, but certainly people are waiting with bated breath now. Right, Tom said, a really disappointing performance yesterday. I really like Albie, but he's got to improve his end product. Also, Gunter shouldn't be playing left back. We knew a couple of weeks before the season that Perrington was injured, so why have we still not signed another left back? John says, want to be positive, but this side looks worse than Russell Slade's lot, and that team still had a bit of championship quality. Alan says, DJ and Claire were poor. Dobson was only midfielder that turned up and was subbed. We hit it in hope to Stockley. It's not Charlton football. Need a left back, a creative central midfielder, as too much on JFC coming back in January will be too late by then. Forward who gets in behind, and another wide man, and we need a backup goalkeeper too. Big Tone says, it wasn't the best game, but we didn't play that well. We had a problem creating chances. Defence looked wobbly at times. However, I'm not too worried. We can't expect to play well every game. We've made some very good signings. We just need a couple more as options to change the bench. And South of the River says, my biggest fear after weeks of transfer inactivity, when we have known all summer that Charlton needed a number of signings, was that everything would be left to the last minute, leaving Charlton playing catch up. Incoming players might not be ready until mid-September in terms of fitness as well. And yeah, that is a concern, but it's looking like that's the way it's going to be. Right, after the game yesterday, while we were waiting for Nigel Atkins to come out, Carl Robinson came out to do his press conference after the game with the local Oxford media, but we were there as well, so we obviously caught up with Carl, the former Charlton boss, It was his Oxford side that beat the Addicts. But I thought it'd be interesting to get the perspective of another manager in our league, who obviously knows the club reasonably well, knows the sort of business we've done. Just find out how he thinks Charlton have landed this season. And also, he talks a little bit about how he decided to manage dialing Jai Simi during a game yesterday.
I'm just wondering how you're viewing Charlton this season. You mentioned Jaden Stockley looks like a real threat.
Oh, he's top drawer, isn't he? Yeah. Like I say, I know when Stevie got him, I knew he was over the moon with that one. There's a few clubs who have disappointed me without that finish, and I'm sure he wasn't meant to go somewhere else 24 hours before. Yeah. I can't have that because the Wolves fans are linked me as well, but it's they're the ones you look for. The top drawer, obviously, trying to see me off the right, you know he's going to have pace, you know Connor's always going to sign in. Kirk was a big coup. I know I actually said to our players before, if you want to play Charlton, play them now while they're still trying to bring players in. Because it's a good time to play them. And I think you know that. I think you know this team's only going to get better. The two centre-backs were a real, real strong partnership the other season. I remember playing them at the Valley and I thought I liked what I see in that. You know, two amazing experienced full-backs. I'm one of the best keepers in the league last year. I told you. I think as a football club, they certainly landed to be successful. And obviously, Nigel, the type of person he is, he's a top man. And having Jacko and Jace there, it was nice to see them all. There's some good people at your club, and they're friends for life, some of them, and they know that. So it was nice to see people again.
What do you think Kirk will add to the team for people that haven't seen him?
He was my favourite winger up until Christmas last year. He was brilliant. Yeah. He was playing behind Pickering, he was probably the best left back in the league last year as well. So he was the problems the crew caused us last year with him on one side, it was Dale on the other, with Pickering and NG. On both full-back areas, and you didn't know whether he were coming or going. And then Wintle sat in midfield with likes of Lowry in there as well. They were a real threat, and he was a real, real good player. They played us here, and they wiped the floor with us. I think it was 2-0 on the day, and Kirk was just unplayable. He's an exciting one. He floats. He's got the ability to retain it. I think his decision making in the final third is good as well. Sometimes you get wingers who look good, but sometimes the final end product sometimes can dwindle away, but he's a real good player.
Do you think DJ was quiet today? I think he only had about 7-8 touches in the game up until when he came off. Is that tactically something you did there or not?
Yeah, we just felt we could follow him man for man mark, and that was our, because I think if he comes off between the lines and he gets a run on you, he's a very difficult player to play against. We worked really hard on this. We only played on Wednesday night as well, people are forgetting that. We had no recovery whatsoever. We had a battle at 4:30 in the morning on Thursday, when we were back in here at 10 o'clock the next day, and we spoke all week about how in them 2 days about how you have to deal with these two wide strikers. Yeah. It's really hard, but you also know the delivery. By the way, Albie's just come on. He looks like a young man. I'm really proud of him, seeing him as well. But you know the delivery from him is top draw. Seeing the delivery put in for Stockley against Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend. So you always know you're going to be under pressure from one set plays, two the balls are going to come in your box, and three, you know they've got wide players who want to play inside off the line and cause you big issues.
There we go. That was Carl. Said some nice things there, obviously, about the Charlton backroom staff, obviously, who he worked with, friends for life. He said it was interesting to speak to him, and I do apologise to Charlton XL for making you listen to that. But I did find it reasonably interesting. Now, obviously, he spoke a lot about Stockley, about how Lewis, how he thinks that there's some good players that we've signed. But he did say, you know, this is a good time to play Charlton. So obviously, where we are focusing on hoping that we are going to get better throughout the season, as we have done in other League One seasons, if you are a side who wants to pick up some points about us, maybe now is the best time to play us.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've got gelling to do ourselves. You know, we're talking about signings, but like Ipswich have made a load of signings and lost yesterday, but naturally they're going to get better as well with the season. And it's the same for us. You know, we are going to have to improve as we go along, and we will. We'll have more bodies come in, undoubtedly. Charlie Kirk signing is a huge positive, and he'll come in and bring something different to that side. You know, so Carl's right. I mean, it is a good time to play us at the moment because we are kind of transitioning. As we said, he marked DJ out the game and did a very good job with that. And I think that his comments about Stockley were bang on as well. I think that you'd struggle to find a striker in League One, especially that is going to be as much of a threat as Jaden Stockley. I thought even again yesterday, despite us not being at our best, I still thought he played quite well. He wins everything in the air, doesn't he? He's such a handful. And yeah, high praise from Carl for Jaden Stockley, and more than deserved. You know, both performances so far, taking the result out of it yesterday. I was really impressed with Jaden at Sheffield Wednesday, and I think yesterday as well. He did his bit when he needed to.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's have a look at some more emails. We've actually had one in from Glovepup, who does help out with the show, but he doesn't come on. So he's put a question to us, Mark, and I'll let you answer this question. So he says, are our expectations too high? Thomas has said things about not wanting loans, that they don't help the club grow the right way. But obviously, he says fans seem to take some of his comments literally and will forensically dissect them. Should we take these things with a pinch of salt? Is it marketing speak, getting the fans on side? Has he been naive? Does he not, or did he underestimate the challenges ahead? What do you think, Mark?
Well, it depends how much he's listening to Steve Gallen, you know, because he's still the one who's got the ins and outs of all these players. And if he goes to him and say, look, this kid's in, you know, Arsenal's under 18s, under 21 side, he's not, you know, they're not looking to use him in the league. They want to get experience. I think he could do us, you know, a good job. I think Thomas will go with that. I mean, I think maybe with a bit of lip service, yeah, he wants to promote, you know, the kids that we've got. And I get that, you know, because, you know, deep down, they are assets which he's potentially polishing. I'm not saying he's looking to, you know, build them up, sign them and sell them off. But, you know, as a businessman, he's going to be looking at that, especially someone who's now got this football club, and say, right, what have we got? What have we got? I mean, we always used to survive on selling the Gomez, the Konza, the Lookman. So you've got a player like that coming through. So I can understand him saying, I don't want loans. I'd rather use our youth. But, you know, I'd go with whatever Gallen recommends. And that's the thing. It's now there's a few more voices at the top. You don't know how much people are going to listen to him. Because I know Jed Roddy's there. And, you know, if there's a disagreement between Gallen saying, I think this kid at QPR is really good and could do us a good job, and Roddy saying, no, I don't agree, I think Thomas is going to go with Roddy because he's brought Roddy in. So, you know, it's a tough one to get the balance right. You know, we know we've had bad loan signings. You know, we could probably do a 1-11 of bad loan signings. But, you know, we've also had some amazing ones where we've gone, wow, I'd love him to, you know, there's no chance, but I'd love him to sign for us. But, you know, they've come in and they've done really, really well. So, you know, it's a difficult one. It's a very much a media-answered one, you know. But the thing is, like you say, fans will dissect everything. And, you know, the people who always at Thomas in on their Twitter things, thinking, look, the guy's got a company to run. He's got a football club to run. In fact, I don't think he really wants to know that you fancy this guy who plays for Yeovil who could do a job.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking, you know, life's too short to waste your time like that.
Well, Thomas does seem to find the time to message fans every now and then. But, yeah, that's where we are. Paul did add at the end of his emails, two games down and one cup game. I really didn't give a damn about it. It's a long season. There's still time to add depth, and I believe that will happen. I feel we were saying the same things last season, and we made the playoffs. People have short memories. Well, clearly Paul has a short memory because we didn't make the playoffs, right? McSquared says, hi guys, the new season has started. It's almost a case of Groundhog Day as it stands. If anything, we currently look weaker than we did at the start of last season. And then you could argue we had an excuse, as it was pre-Thomas. The 2-1 scoreline for Oxford actually flattered us. They should have beaten us by more. We are still short of a decent striker and a creative midfielder. Robert says, hi guys, my advice is to all fans to lower their expectations. Take a step back and remember where we were a year ago. Thomas Sandgaard is still in the process of rebuilding the club. He's laid solid foundations, senior appointments in technical, commercial and financial departments, a solid spine for the team taking shape whilst reducing the average age of the squad with longer term contracts and academy players getting vital experience with the first team squad. We need to trust the project. Cheers. Robert Phil says, hi guys, obviously very disappointing result again yesterday, especially as we seem to have reverted to gifting goals with silly avoidable defensive errors. Took the time the defense were instructed, if in doubt, kick it out. It's going to be pointless having the two best wide players in the division if we don't get them the ball, and Stockley needs supply from the wide areas, which again is lacking. I believe I heard on commentary that DJ only had 6 touches. That makes no sense at all. Good to have you back though, discussing all the valuable points before and after the games. Cheers, Phil. Steve says, good evening gents, disappointed like everyone else after yesterday's result, but please everyone calm down. Some comments I've seen have just been ridiculous. It's the start of the season, not all teams can get a perfect start. If our first two league games were played in mid-season, we would think nothing much of it, but please look at the bigger picture. We have a club save from the brink. Stability was needed, and we got it. The season's 46 games, not two. Let's see how we get on in the next 44. Everyone stick together. Cheers, Steve. And then Scott finally says, evening, guys. I was happy with the signing of Stockley, like all of us, and I still am. But with him on the pitch, we seem very one-dimensional, which I don't think we have to be. Adkins said after the Sheffield Wednesday game that we weren't one-dimensional. I disagreed. We definitely were. There was a lot of long balls up to Stockley, and I feel that's why the likes of DJ, Albie, Dobson and Clare haven't been able to show much in the two games, because the ball bypasses them a bit and those midfielders or wingers are there just to feed off the second ball. I think the team's good enough to be able to build up play a little bit more before we hit Stockley. What do you think? Have we been one-dimensional in your view? I mean, obviously I've already mentioned about the amount of times that Albie is touching the ball. So I do think, I don't think the game's bypassing him because he's been involved more than anyone else. Certainly I think, you know, Claire and DJ yesterday weren't involved anywhere near as much as they'd want to be. But we need to find a way to feed the wide players, DJ, getting the ball into the channel, basically, because I think that's where we're going to find ourselves threatening, other than just the long ball up to Jaden Stockley as well. Right, I mean, Lewis, we haven't got much time, actually, but if we have a look ahead to Milton Keynes coming up on Tuesday evening, obviously beaten by Sunderland yesterday. At Stadium MK, I've got the new manager who's just come in as well from Lommel. Actually, Liam Manning was the manager at Lommel, where Carol Fry went after us. So the reverse path. But yeah, what do you reckon? Big game. Obviously, they got a 3-3 draw with Bolton on the opening day, letting a late equaliser there, and then beaten by a good team in Sunderland. So, you know, not the best start, but very similar start to us, funny enough.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough test. I think going up to Stadium MK is never the greatest of stumping grounds for us to go to. They'll have a new manager coming in who they lost to Sunderland yesterday, but he's probably not had a huge amount of time to put his authority in yet. Probably the same with us, to be honest. It's such a quick turnaround between games. They were a side I kind of fancied quite a bit at the start of the season, to be honest. I think their recruitment's been pretty good, bringing in the likes of Mo Issa, Troy Parrott, Scott Twine. You know, I think they're all good additions at this level. And then obviously to lose your manager just before the start of the season probably rocked them a little bit. I think there was a lot of promise in Russell Martin. I think he was kind of selling a bit of a vision and a process, and obviously he's moved now to Swansea. So they've got to kick on now with Liam Manning and see if they can maintain, because I think a few people fancied them to try and sneak in the top six this year. So they'll be a difficult side. It'll be a tough test. But I think that we need to be riled up for it, because I don't think yesterday was good enough. Hopefully Charlie Kirk will come in and play a little bit of a role. I can't see him starting, but I think he'll probably train maybe tomorrow, and he may be in the match day squad to come on and get his first minutes for us. So yeah, big game, a reaction needed, and I think another big away following going up there as well. So I'm going myself, so I'm really looking forward to it. First time at Stadium MK as well.
Yeah,
so
well, it's an amazing stadium, but it's probably the worst fan base in the Football League. But, you know, they're still learning, aren't they? They're brand new. Obviously, Mark already mentioned there that Charlie's likely to be involved. You know, no surprise that he was missing yesterday. He hasn't really trained this week after obviously the very sad news of his father passing. But yeah, I mean, hopefully if he does get on the pitch tomorrow, everyone, I'm sure, will get behind him, and let's hope that he can prove to be the difference that we're expecting him to be, you know, once he's settled down and when he's ready to be.
Yeah, I mean, from the highlights that crew did as a goodbye video, you know, he looks a very exciting young player. I'm just wondering if Tuesday, whether they're still managing Innes as fitness, whether Pierce will come in, which, you know, might tighten up the back a bit. I mean, we don't really have many other options to change around, because obviously we don't have much of a team. But, yeah, it'd be interesting if he does put Kirk in, because it's just thinking itself on that left-hand side, you know, Washington, but Washington's done nothing wrong. So it'd be hard to see, you know, can't see him changing the midfield up. So it'd be hard to see how he's going to balance it up. But, you know, that's why Nigel gets paid a lot more than I do.
Well, we don't have definitive proof of that, but we can assume so, I guess. Right, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks to everyone who's listened. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you, Lewis and Mark, for joining me on this week's pod.
Yeah, and happy birthday to Johnny Jackson.
Yeah, Jacko's birthday. See, it's not been a terrible weekend after all. I hope he's had a good one. I've been Louis Mendes. We'll be back on Thursday with the big match preview to look ahead to next weekend's game against Wigan, and obviously look back at the game against MK. We'll see if we can grab the 3 points. But in the meantime, thanks for listening, and we shall see you again on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.